Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today. Well, we've made it past Thanksgiving, and then we're coming up on the holidays of Christmas. While some people may be very ready for the holidays, they have a lot of kids, they're excited, and just wrapped up in all of that hoopla of thinking about how great the holiday will be, there are many people, too, who have suffered a loss this year. And I know for myself, I've had several friends, probably about 10, who have lost their loved ones in the past 2 weeks. I'm not sure quite what's going on, but I do know that a lot of people are suffering and feeling pain and grief, and they're just not ready to let it go yet because it is so new. But it is the holidays, and we wonder and we hope and pray that they're able to find some peace. So today we will be speaking about funeral pre-planning. I can tell you with all of these 10 people, every single situation around the death of a loved one was totally different. And it ranged from pure chaos and mayhem and legal logistics all the way down to peace, quiet, and just very simple and able to go on. So I'm not real sure where you fit on the paradigm, but it would be very important to possibly think about it ahead of time. Because when someone is ill or has a chronic illness, and they are noticing that maybe it might be the end of their life soon and they're in hospice, that is very important to know that what you want as the person is not always what your family might want. Your family may come in and say, I know what mom wants. She tells me all the time. Or I know her. I see her all the time, 2 or 3 times a year. Or I know everything that she wants because I buy all her things for her, so I know what she likes. And that may be farther from the truth than you can ever imagine. So today, we are going to be talking about pre-planning. What do you do? What do you think you might need to look at? Because it is very important. My guest today is Mike Boyd. He is the author of How to Bankroll a Funeral Without Breaking the Bank. And that link is on today's show page where you can click directly through there and find that book. What is very important to notice is that Mike, although he has been involved with funerals for many, many years, he's going to be sharing it with us about the business of planning a funeral. That means pre-planning, costs, what are the types of funerals, and how do I know what the best decision might be for me? Because when it comes right down to it, you can't even think when someone has passed away that was very close to you. And what really happens is it hits you like a wave and you're frozen and the days just seem to melt into oblivion. So Mike is here to help us possibly just have a slight conversation with your family prior to any event and say, you know what, I really don't think I want that. Or you know what, I really would love this, and how that's so important. So today I'd like to welcome Mike to the show. Mike, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Dr. Jen. I appreciate it. It's a pleasure to be on the show today. You did talk about pre-planning, and today it's so important that consumers consider funerals prior to the need. It's been talked about over the years why they don't get more involved, and the funeral planning has always been a taboo subject. Now, in the most recent years, let's say within the last, five-plus years, consumers, because of boomers becoming and getting into their 60-years-old-plus age, it's becoming a more open subject, and the subject of pre-planning keeps coming up. Mike, what do you do? How do I do it? What I always tell consumers is this. Look at purchasing a funeral like you would be purchasing an automobile. You have to look around. You have to talk to several funeral providers in your area. You have to go out and become familiar with the services that are being offered in your area or where the funeral plan is expected to take place. In addition to that, go out and talk to several final disposition providers, and that is your cemetery, your mausoleum, your niche cremation facility, get to know the facilities in your residential neighborhood, acquire price list. And as I say, when it comes to the funeral home end of it, by the Federal Trade Commission's funeral rule, Doctor, consumers, when they go into a funeral home to make funeral arrangements, either at need or pre-need, are to receive price list of funeral goods and services. The price list that they are to receive at the funeral home level, it's one, the casket price list of what is being offered by that funeral provider, two, the burial vault price list being offered by that funeral provider, and three, a general goods and service price list. All three price lists can be given out separately or in a, as a one master price list to consumers either making arrangements at need where the death has occurred already or pre-need where the death has not occurred, may not even be anticipated, may not even occur because they're making a pre-financed arrangement or a pre-planned arrangement for someone who is healthy today. They just want to get the business of making a funeral arrangement out of the way. So at the funeral home, at the funeral
home
level,
Mike, the first thing, let's go back a little bit, is when it does happen to you, I mean, you're pretty well frozen, and a lot of people think right then and there when they're either in a hospice or if they're coming out of the hospital and someone goes home to their neighborhood, you have the person next door or the relative that says, I know what to do. I've done it before. I'll make all the arrangements. And really, that has nothing to do with your wishes or your finances or anything. And these people just start to take full reign of being able to make all arrangements that are really not where they should be doing. And, you know, we think about that because, you know, when you're pre-planning, at least you can say ahead of time, you know, really, I don't want that plot at the cemetery. Or I really, did you know I had a plot? I mean, I know for my own family that no one knows that there's one plot left. They have no idea that there's one left in the family thing. So that is definitely what you and I are saying is have a few conversations before, even if they're not about, you know, I've got 20,000 here and 10,000 there and this costs 400 and that costs 700. That is granted down the road, but then we're looking, let's go to the one spot now is that as soon as that happens, man, first thing, who is the first person you call? And really, the first person you call is who?
The first person to call, let's say, if the death were not expected, okay, in other words, let's say if it was not expected, the first person to call would be the immediate relative or a close family friend if there are no immediate relatives, because sometimes people just don't have immediate relatives left when there's a death. So you could be, you would hopefully have discussed this ahead of time. That's why, Doctor, I try to say as much as possible, learn about the subject matter as we are talking about today, so that you can know what should be done when the event occurs. Now, if you are in a hospice care facility or another facility like that where death is anticipated within, let's say, the near future, then in turn, normally families talk about it and make their arrangements and talk about what types of funerals or what type of a plan they would like to have at the time of death. Now, that, of course, is still somewhat pre-planning of the funeral. Just talk about it. The worst thing that families can do today is not talk about it at all prior to a particular incident occurring. The best advice I can give to everyone is to learn about the subject matter, Doctor, become as educated as possible, and that's not hard to do, about the particular subject matter so that when a death event occurs, be it at need, in other words, suddenly, or pre-need, as I've mentioned just a few minutes ago, where it's not anticipated at all. It's just you are making arrangements. Always discuss it with family members and friends. If you don't have immediate family members you can discuss it with, consider a good friend. As I tell people all the time, when you're going to make a funeral arrangement, either at need, death has occurred, pre-need, has not occurred, consider taking someone who's unbiased with you at the time so that when you are at the funeral home, you can talk to your friend or your relative in trust and ask for advice as you're being talked to by the funeral director or by the cemetery provider regarding final disposition areas in a particular cemetery. It's best not to do it alone, and because things can happen, overspending can occur, doctor, and other areas can happen that should not happen if the consumers just will take the time and possibly talk to a person like me, go to my website, ask a question, I'll email it back to you, you can do what you want, but it's an advice situation.
So what is the process if you are an elder person and you don't have any family? Who takes care of the situation? I mean, like, let's say if you end up going to the hospital and you die in the hospital, how does the chain of command work there? Or do you maybe have in your will and stuff maybe your lawyer's name and the lawyer would take care of it? Or, you know, maybe some other significant person that would be on your health care regime? How would that work?
The best way to do it is to have someone designated, okay? And I'd say, in other words, if you're in a hospital and you don't have any friend, or I'm sorry, any relative who can actually handle it, your best in the hospital may even ask. And once you get into that, let's say, that area of medical condition where you are expected to pass, it will probably be asked who to contact upon death, and it will be put into some kind of a form or somewhere along the line, so a next of kin, a distant family member can possibly be notified. Even a friend can be notified to take charge and make whatever arrangements are possible. And if the deceased has not made any arrangements, or if the person who is sickly has not made any arrangements, then it would be up to that particular assigned individual, whoever it is, to try to make arrangements for the deceased. And then it comes down to who's going to pay for it. Well,
right.
it hopefully will have been determined in the will how it's going to be paid for, even though that can take some time to find out who was assigned and where the money is, because of the fact that many times in a will they're locked up in a safe deposit box. The deceased or the very sickly person has not told anybody where his or her will is, and that happens all the time. So that's another reason that I say talk to family members, talk to friends, talk. So people know when it gets serious in a hospital or when it gets serious in a situation where the death may occur in the near future, someone is assigned so you don't go through the trauma of not having anyone take care of business. And that can happen frequently, doctor.
What is the time limit? Now, let's say, I'm sure there is potentially a time limit where certain steps need to be taken. Can you give us a general idea what that might be? Because I can remember a relative had passed away like on a Saturday, and really the family member said on Friday, well, they're not really dying, are they? I'm not going to come visit. And then the person died on Saturday. It was kind of like this person didn't even come for like 2 weeks.
Okay.
And I'm sure those arrangements would have had to been made, or something would have had to been done. And in other words, like what is that, an idea of that timeline mean?
Okay. If I'd like to get your question a little more clarified. You're saying to me that someone be in a hospital environment, let's say in a home environment, and be sickly in a home environment. They aren't in a hospital yet. Okay. You're saying to me then what should be the chain of events if they pass away in their home? Is that what we're looking at now, doctor?
Well, at any point, let's say my grandmother passes away and there's nobody around, like no one, and the family doesn't come for a period of time, and they don't even know to make the arrangements. In other words, from the death to when the actual funeral has to be, or when the, you know, everything has to be done, the burial, what is that timeline and how does that progress? Because some people say, well, they died on Saturday, we've only got till Monday. They died on Monday, we got till Tuesday. You know, so people, you know, they always feel pressured with these questions because they're like, well, he died on Saturday, I have to hurry up and get the funeral home, it's Saturday night, you know. And that kind of idea, they feel so much pressure that that's when they make those decisions that are so inappropriate and expensive, right?
Correct. Now, you clarified it a little bit. When someone passes away in a hospital, let's say, and the hospital will notify the family that the person has passed. I don't care if it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon or 3 o'clock in the morning. the hospital will notify the family. At that time, it's up to the family to make, let's say, the call to the funeral director if there is one set up. If there is not and no one knows, it's going to take some time for the family and or friends to discuss how it's going to be handled and where it's going to be handled. So there may be a time limit to where the remains at the hospital environment would be removed to, let's say, the morgue in the hospital. And then as soon as they're down in the morgue or up in the morgue at that particular hospital, they can remain there for a day or two until arrangements are finalized by the family or friends to have the body removed from the hospital and taken to a particular funeral home or crematory for a particular funeral plan, if you will. But the time limit, if it's not pre-planned, doctor, it can get very fast and be hectic to anyone involved in it. And I mean hectic. For example, years ago, my mother-in-law passed away around just before midnight. And she passed away in a northern state and was going to be transported to another state where their mausoleum facility is located. But when my father-in-law called me, and I said to him, John, you call the funeral director right now, and it was around midnight, you call the funeral director so that they can make arrangements with a funeral director in the state where he lived to have mom transported back to where the mausoleum facility is. Don't wait until the morning. And she passed on in a hospital, and she was in hospice. But this is traditionally what you do. And with that particular situation, the event occurred, and it was late at night. This is why I've often said, know what you're talking about. Understand it. As I say, my father-in-law is a retired physician. He didn't know what to do. So he called me. So I gave him the advice, he followed it, and everything fell into place perfectly. Then by the next day, the remains were transported to the city where the mausoleum was going to be located. The funeral plan had been arranged and made up, and go from there. But it's a very fast process if it's not planned out ahead of time. If it's planned out ahead of time in what I call pre-planning or even a pre-finance situation, and I like to keep those two phrases different. Because consumers today can take and, let's say, pre-plan a funeral. Now, you will see in ads in possibly your area of the country where a funeral home advertises, come in and pre-plan your pre-financed funeral. I like to say, come in and sit down and talk about pre-planning and or pre-financing, one of the two. Because if you pre-plan your funeral or a funeral, you're not spending any money on it today, but at least you're getting the obligation of making the funeral arrangement for someone out of the way. If you're pre-financing, which we can get into a little later if it's appropriate, I will explain a little more on that. But the bottom line is there are so many options, doctor. It's just so important today that consumers learn as much as they can about the subject matter before it occurs, and that's why I try to do what I do through my website and through talking to you, et cetera, trying to educate consumers as much as possible about that. And you're asking very good questions. So as I say, think about these my answers. If I'm not being specific enough for you or your listening audience, let me know, and I'll better explain it.
Because, you know, I know so many people, they're just frustrated at the end because, you know, they can't even see themselves straight to be able to even leave the person after they've passed away sometimes and to say, I have to make financial decisions, and it's beyond some people's capacity. They just can't do it. You know,
that's
they
correct.
Can't think about it. They have no way of doing it. And it's probably the one time that I can think of in your life where you really are just at a time limit. I mean, even when you get a medical diagnosis, you've got a day or two. You've got, you know, maybe a week or two. Or if, you know, other than, you know, an unexpected death, of course, but you've got, I mean, the time is like this thing in your head that explodes, you know, and it's just time stopped. Now what do I do, you know, and
that's
that overwhelming
correct.
Part. So can you explain to us a little bit more about the different types of funerals and different things like that? Because there's a lot of, you said there's a lot of rules and regulations about them. Well, how do you even make a funeral, you know, with arrangements, and there's regulations that you're going to have to find out in what, 24 hours? I don't think so.
It's up to let's start off then to answer that question. Let's start off at the funeral home level. Now, I'm going to take and define funeral home level as the funeral, let's say, where you're going to have the funeral plan made, and I'm going to then define the final disposition level, which is cemetery where the casket would probably be put into the ground or put into a mausoleum crypt, okay? Or the cremated mm-hmm. ashes will be put into a niche in a cemetery or a crypt-type facility. When you go to a funeral home, as I say, and looking at all of the options, you first of all, a traditional funeral would be the use of purchasing, let's say, a casket, a burial vault, possibly a mausoleum entombment, okay? That would be a traditional, the most expensive type of funeral that's available today would be that kind of a funeral, the traditional type funeral. Then you have your options of the type of merchandise, doctor, you can purchase to make it less expensive. For example, if you were to purchase, let's say you had a mausoleum crypt where the mm-hmm. remains were going to be entombed, okay? Because of that, the funeral home or the funeral director or who's ever making the arrangements will probably tell you that you will have to purchase a sealer type or gasketed casket, and embalming may be necessary depending upon the rules and regulations at the mausoleum facility, which if you have purchased it ahead of time, the mausoleum facility would have told you, doctor, to use this mausoleum crypt when the event occurs and the casket is there, you will need to purchase a gasketed casket and you will need to have embalming performed onto the deceased to use the mausoleum crypt in our property. That's, let's say, I will say, is kind of a simple explanation of a traditional type funeral where you'd have casket, burial vault, casket, mausoleum, possible visitation at the funeral home for a day or two or several days, death notice in the newspaper. Possibly you would have some kind of a service at the funeral home going on to a place of worship, then in turn from that place of worship going on to the cemetery or final disposition property. That's all that would be, let's say, involved in the traditional type funeral. Then you can have other options with the funeral. In other words, you can purchase a casket at the lower end grade of caskets. You can purchase a burial vault. Rather than having one style of burial vault that's more expensive, you can purchase a less expensive type liner. But you must know the differences. And that's where these price lists come in, that the funeral director should provide to the consumer when they make arrangements. Now, this is what makes it difficult and complex, is that when you're looking at all these things and you don't know which direction you want to go, and you haven't thought about it in the past, you're being hit with all of these options. Then in today's market, cremation has become more popular because of it's less expensive than a traditional funeral. Now, when you have cremation, you have different options there. You can have cremation with a memorial service. You can have an immediate cremation. You can have a cremation, as I say, viewing with cremation to follow. So there are options that consumers can have when it comes to cremation. And, again, you must and should know these options. For example, some years ago, I had a consumer come to me. And she said, Mike, my dad has been very ill. The family is all in agreement, including my dad, who's not expected to live much longer. We're going to have an immediate cremation plan. I said, okay. She said, I've contacted the National Cremation Service, and they quoted me to provide this immediate cremation, $1,200. I said, okay. She said, do you have any advice on what I could do to go and look around and shop and see what's available locally? So I said, what I told her to do, so I said, go to the local telephone book in the community where the cremation is expected to occur and or look on the Internet. Look for cremation/memorial societies. And funeral homes. Call several of the facilities in that area because you should be able to get pricing, doctor, over the telephone. Generally speaking, they won't even ask for your name, address, or telephone number. You should be able to acquire this information over the phone so you don't have to go out and shop and go in your automobile or your vehicle going from one facility to another. Okay, so I let it at that. I gave the advice. That was it. Some months later, I ended up talking to that consumer. And the consumer thanked me. And I said, for what? She said, Mike, because of you, we saved $700. And I said, how'd you do that? She said, we went to the telephone book in the area. She said, we contacted a cremation service. They quoted us $500 and allowed us to use their chapel for a memorial service. This is how, doctor, consumers can do it. All they can do is just know how to look around, know how to shop around, know where the information is available, talk to the people in the community, the professionals in the community. And yes, you can possibly, if you're out to save money versus location, yes, you can save money. Now, fully remember that many times residents who live in a particular area select a funeral home and or cremation service in the area of which they live. They do not want to take and drive across town to have a traditional funeral plan doctor. It's just going out of the way. So in any event, because of that, the local funeral directors provide the services to many of their, many of the residents who live around a particular funeral home. And because of that, there may be better pricing on another side of town, but they don't do that. This is why, mm-hmm. as I say, funeral directors many times take care of the locale, people who live in the locale, and it's up to the residents who are, the consumers, to decide on where they want to go, how they're going to save money, but learn how to save money. And there's just so many ways, if you're out to save money, that you can do it, but you must know how to do it. And as I continually give this example, where you've been thinking about purchasing an automobile, but you just don't want to spend the money. So you keep putting repairs into your vehicle. And one day your vehicle just stops running and you're saying, okay, fine, I've had it. I don't want this car anymore. You decide to go to an automobile dealer and purchase a new vehicle. As soon as you walk in and you sit down with that salesperson, whoever it is, and you tell them what's going on, they will know right away that they have a cornered consumer who the odds are will buy a vehicle. But then again, your vehicle may not have stopped working on the day when they have the best prices at the dealership. You may be forced to pay a little more because it just didn't stay working until the sales prices of the particular vehicle drop, let's say at the end of the month, at the mid of the month, whatever. So the consumer is cornered by waiting until the end of the useful life of the vehicle, and the same thing happens in the funeral industry. That's why consumers today must be aware of all the options. You know, as I said, you ask for different things. You can have a funeral service at a funeral home. You can have no funeral service at a funeral home, but then if you're going to have a service, you may have to rent the hearse, may have to rent a limousine, flower vehicle, and of course the lead car, if you're going to have a procession, would all be rented and included in the individual price list given to the family for the cost of the funeral. Can you save money? Absolutely. And as I tell people, consumers today, doctors, you can save money in certain areas by, one, rather than having visitation for 3 nights at a funeral home, reduce it to 2. Mm-hmm. Therefore, you're only renting the funeral home for 2 days versus 3 days. Okay, you can do, there are other ways to save money over and above, let's say, the funeral plan itself, the traditional funeral plan with the particular casket. Getting back to now, so I'm not confusing anybody, let's stay on the traditional funeral. The traditional funeral today, on the average cost for a traditional funeral with a casket and a burial vault, et cetera, you're looking at just over $7,000. But you can purchase a less expensive casket. Okay, rather than having a metal casket, you can always go to the inexpensive wood-type casket. Rather than having a velvet interior, you can always go to a crepe-type interior. You don't have to have a sealer gasket or gasketed-type casket, as it's called, if you're being interred into the ground, buried in the ground. But as I mentioned before, you may be required to purchase that gasketed casket if you're going to purchase a mausoleum crypt. But you should know that ahead of time when you made the arrangements with the mausoleum facility, and adding the embalming along with the gasketed casket can add on, it adds on not a substantial amount of money to a funeral plan, but it will add money onto the total end of the total cost of the end of the funeral plan or the total cost of the funeral plan. So
well,
let's step back for a second.
Hang on for a second. Let's see. How about now the 10, since the economic downturn, a lot of people are just not having the money for this. This is just, if this is just like so overboard and people just simply are like, I can't do that. I don't know what to do. I don't have it. How do people look at other options then? Because not everybody has all of the money to do all of that.
That's
so
where the immediate cremation option comes in.
Is the trend now different?
Pardon me?
Is the trend now different?
No, it's basically the trend right now is what other options you have. That's why cremation is becoming more and more popular among even religions and faiths who didn't approve or like cremation, but now cremation is being used because of cost. families just can't afford that $10,000. They $5,000 or whatever it is, they just can't afford it. So when it, that's where immediate cremation and cremation options are being used more, let's say, more frequently by consumers nationally. Does that kind of answer your question, or have I not been clear?
The is relatively speaking, people say, well, we'll do the cremation and then we'll have something at the funeral home where they'll just have a picture, whatever. Is that really, is that one-tenth of the cost? Is that one-fifth of the cost? I'm just asking it as a general idea because some people have even seen them, you know, their parents or loved ones have passed away and they just say, I don't know that person, and they just walk away.
Correct. When you take and compare, okay, let's take and take a traditional funeral that will run, let's say, $7,500.
Mm-hmm.
The cost for a cremation, depending upon where you live in the country, okay, can vary, I'm not saying substantially, but can vary quite a bit, but it can be, $750 to $1,000, maybe. So you're looking at roughly 10% of the cost of a traditional funeral. You can acquire and have an immediate cremation done without a memorial service and without, you said something there, without the use of a funeral home. Because if you're going to use a funeral home for a memorial service, the odds are they will have to, they will be charging you something to use their facility. Just like if you use the facility at a cremation, let's say a crematory has let's say, a chapel. So if you're going to have an immediate cremation with a memorial service to follow at the cemetery or at the cremation facility, there may be a charge. There may not be, but there may be a charge to rent the room where you're going to have the memorial service. But overall, cost-wise, a cremation plan is substantially less than a traditional funeral plan. That's why they're becoming. That's why they're being used more and more today, Doctor, by consumers, because that's all they can afford.
Right.
It's all they
can afford. That is the truth. I mean, but people, we've now gone and you've spoken about the top end all the way down to the bottom end. So I think people need to understand that there are no right or wrong choices either, and no one's going to make them wrong for making a choice that they have to make at that time, correct?
Absolutely correct. As a matter of fact, today there's just so many, I'm going to say not endless options, but if you're a consumer, let's say, and you may be allowed to have burial on your own property, all depends on county rules and regulations. You may want to have a traditional funeral with, rather than renting the funeral home, you would want to use your own home and have the casket and everything set up at your home. So there are many, many options. If the consumer is out to save money, there are ways to do it if you are aware and you're not under the pressure. But remember, if you're under the pressure and mom has passed on today and you're out there tomorrow making the arrangements, you're not going to think nearly as clear as you would if you had talked about this and mom may have been sick and you went out there and discussed it with your local funeral home, several local funeral homes, and mom is now, she may even be able to look at her own, the funeral plan that the family is considering. She may be involved in the process of making the arrangement for herself, which is like, I always say, it's like pre-planning or pre-financing. There are many people, consumers out there who make their own pre-financed funeral arrangements. And they go in and make the funeral plan for themselves at a funeral home. They walk in by themselves, and they make the plan for themselves, give the money to the funeral home, give the money to the final disposition facility doctor, and it's all over until the person passes on. So
here's another question. Hang on. Right there, that one thing is now that people are moving around so much and there's so much high incidence of dementia and Alzheimer's, what happens if I had made all my arrangements with a certain funeral home down the street and I end up in a large city on the other side of town with dementia and Alzheimer's and those two things don't connect? What happens then?
Very good question. Very, very good question. The answer to that is quite simple. If the family does not know that the deceased made a pre-financed funeral arrangement with a particular funeral home across town or across the country, they may use another funeral home and pay for the funeral. Who wins? The funeral director who has the pre-financed funeral plan that was never used. That's why.
So it's really important to be able to have that information out there somewhere on a piece of paper. I know people have gone through, you know, their loved ones' homes after a death and said, my gosh, if we ever knew this, look at all these papers, you know, look at all these things they've paid for. Some people don't even remember when they get older that they've paid for this, that, or the other, and they may have paid for a funeral 2, 3, 4 times. They don't know.
That's totally correct.
They may have paid, you know, they may have 4 or 5 cemetery plots. They just don't know, because when you're in those elder years, a lot of people can take advantage of you, and that is not what we want, but it is what's occurring in some areas. So
now, you mentioned some very, very good points. Anytime I tell consumers, and a funeral director and a cemetery should tell you the same thing. Anybody should tell you this. When you make a pre-financed funeral arrangement with any funeral home, I don't care if it's in the United States or around the world, you get everything in writing. Once you get the contract, you make sure that you distribute it. You don't lock it up in a safe deposit box, because once the person passes on, it may take some time before family members are allowed to get into the safe deposit box. You take that contract, you make copies of it, and distribute it to your family members or your friend, a friend or friends who may or should be involved. I'm saying may, might, should be involved at the time of death, so that that pre-financed funeral plan can be implemented. And if you don't do that, and you have dementia, as you just said, or something else has happened, no one may know what happened. Therefore, they hire someone else, and it can happen. For example, what can happen is a consumer today can live, for example, in any city in the United States and move. But in that particular city they are now living, they purchase the pre-financed funeral plan, they purchase their mausoleum crypt, and they move. They don't cancel the agreement. They die in another city.
That's also important, too. I've seen, I was walking through a very old cemetery here in New Orleans, and it said on the bottom of a perpetual care. A lot of people buy these plots with several spaces. They're paying for perpetual care all along. And then when it comes time, they don't even end up getting in there.
Correct. That's absolutely correct. The cemetery issue has been an issue nationally for years. Now, cemeteries throughout the United States are pretty much, it's going back some time ago, last year, 60 Minutes did a report, and I just happened to watch it. Anderson Cooper was the reporter who did the report. And during that time, it was referred to, cemetery arrangements, doctor, were referred to as still being in the Wild West mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So therefore, and it's happening down where I live, which I live in Florida, as I mentioned to you before. We've had situations in Florida where several cemeteries have been sued because of they've removed body parts from the ground to resell the grave sites. Mm-hmm. And it happens. And it was brought up at this report on 60 Minutes. The same thing can happen. And I'll give you another example on this report on 60 Minutes. And this, was sad. The daughter's mother, it was a daughter, her mother went out and made a pre-financed cemetery arrangement. She bought a cemetery plot for herself to be buried in upon her death. The death occurred. The daughter went to the cemetery, was told, yes, your mom purchased this cemetery plot for $2,500. We will honor that, but it's going to cost you $2,500 to open and close the grave, which is really digging the ditch and closing it up after the casket's put in there. And the daughter just didn't have the dollars to do it. The mother, when she made the arrangement, should have known enough to question it. What about opening and closing of the grave? Why is it not included in the contract? That's why, doctor, I'm telling consumers today, you have to take and become as educated as possible. Now, I'm even available, and I'm not an attorney, but the point is, if any consumer ever wanted me to review a contract, be it at-need or pre-need, probably at-need would be a little more hectic, but pre-need would be preferable, I would know how to go through it, doctor, and look at it and tell you what you should have in that contract if it's not in there. For example, okay, in talking about dollars and cents, et cetera, if you decide you made this, let's say, a $10,000 pre-financed funeral arrangement at a funeral home, you decided that you want to cancel out the arrangement. You're going to move. You need the money to purchase a home. You need the money to purchase an automobile. But you want to cancel it out. You go back to the funeral director and you say, I'd like my money back. You may not get that money back. Or you may only get a part of it back. Unless it's clearly defined in this pre-finance funeral arrangement contract how much money you will get back if you take and cancel the agreement out prior to the death of the person named in the agreement. And at the cemetery level or the final disposition level, the same thing can occur. You purchase, let's say, two mausoleum crypts, $10,000, $5,000 for each crypt, $10,000 total. Again, you decided you need the money to do other things with, you have financial problems or whatever, you ask them to refund your money. The odds are there you will get some of your money back, but you may not get all of it back. So if you spent $10,000 and you've had these crypts in your possession, let's say, for 5 years, and you go back to the cemetery and they say, okay, fine, doctor, we're only going to give you $8,000 of your $10,000 back, you've just lost 20%. Of your investment,
right.
But you're getting your money back. So
this
is what happens out. I'm sorry.
You kind of think about it as a layaway plan, because if you default on one of those payments too, you're in default and you're not going to get it back. But also with the layaway plan, you know, hey, if you don't come pick it up on the end day, it's your business, right?
That's correct. In other words, with the it's funny you put it layaway, appropriate phrasing.
Well, yeah.
For the particular subject. What happens is funeral homes and cemeteries, they will always accept the part payment plan. You can pay off your pre-finance funeral arrangement for 1 year, 5 years, they'll give you payment books. Some facilities will offer payment books, which is fine, all fine and good. It's just that if the person named in the agreement passes on before the arrangement is fully paid off, the arrangement must be fully paid off to be able to use whatever is in the agreement made with the funeral home, possibly 1 year prior, 5 years, 10 years, 15, who knows. But in other words, immediate cash may be necessary to use the facilities that were agreed upon years ago and you're paying for them, like an automobile car payment. So, there are just so many technicalities in there, doctor, that as I often say to consumers, please don't get caught up in it. Think about it. Ask questions. Do what you have to do ahead of time. Listen to a program like we're talking now on, and learn about it as much as possible. Call in, ask questions, email the person, the host, whatever you have to do to get your particular questions answered, and you're going to become a smarter consumer. As I tell consumers, the only way to know about this subject matter is through education and knowledge. It's simple, it's fast, and there's a lot to it, and I know there's a lot to it. And I hope I'm covering it, in the format that our listening audience can understand today, Doctor.
Yeah, and I do know that the more we talk about the good, bad, and the ugly of all of this, of the event, of the way you have to deal with it, about how quick everything has to be done and how expensive it is, people, like I've said before, do need to understand that there is a full range. And you need to be comfortable about that range in the decision you make. And you can't have regrets. You can't say, well, my mother would have loved to have had that casket. It's so expensive, but I can't afford it. And then you go and you sell your car to be able to afford this casket. I mean, let's talk about that. I mean, are these choices really the choices that you should be making?
No, absolutely not. That's why it's through education and knowledge. In other words, pricing. Because here's the thing. The providers of the service, the funeral homes nationally and really around the world, they know the type of service that they're providing. The cemetery providers, final disposition, they know a lot of it is just snap decisions fast. That's why when you go into these funeral homes and you go into the cemeteries, you may have very, let's say, quiet music playing in the background. A lot of it's psychological. And they know that psychological aspect of the process is such that people may overspend. I've been in situations where people won't enter the funeral home. You're giving a seminar, let's say, and they say, oh, I'm not going inside there. I don't want to go inside the funeral home. So they stay out in the parking lot. And as I've said to people over the years, when I graduated from high school, I went to mortuary school before I acquired my college degree. But I talked about funeral planning for all these years now, and I'm no worse off than if I talked about airplanes all my life. So it's not bad luck to talk about it or enter a funeral home, but there are people doctor, who just are afraid to do that. And because of that, they will not learn about the subject matter. Then when the death does occur to someone in the family, they hit the panic button. And that's all it is.
Right.
That's really what can occur. So what do? We try to educate. We try to give consumers as much knowledge. And you look at my website, as I mentioned before, you know, www.askthefuneralexpert.com. There are many things on my website that all you have to do is just pull up the, go to a little tab. You're going to learn a great deal about funerals. You're going to be able to ask questions. I don't charge to answer your emails. If you'd like, for example, with these new, these on death and dining programs that are starting to occur nationally, consumers are starting to talk about it in a more open fashion. Then in turn, I can take and would be more than happy to talk to any group, okay, long-distance phone, a speakerphone at their end, about that subject matter of the funeral planning where consumers should understand it more. That's why I have my website. And I get anybody who wants to ask a question can do it. The book, if you want a good work, a good decent workbook, although there are other books out there, you're welcome to try to purchase mine. It's simple as that. But do people do it? No, they're afraid of it. And I'm the kind, I'm the type of guy. You look at me, as I say, I don't walk around in a black suit and tie. I don't have to anymore because I'm not in the profession. But I don't do it, and I won't do it. And if I give a program or a seminar and it's a face-to-face thing, doctor, I don't go in a shirt and tie. Believe me, because it scares people off. They don't. They look at me and say, oh, Mike, you're really a nice guy. You have all this knowledge, and you don't look like a funeral director. So that's a good fact on my end of it, being able to teach you as much as possible, doctor, about that subject matter so that you're not taken advantage of monetarily. You're not taken advantage of where, oh, gosh, should I have really done it that way? For example, even another thing is consumers don't understand is that when they make a pre-financed funeral arrangement, there's generally a federal law that allows you to back out of it in 72 hours. So if you've made a decision to pre-finance your funeral with a particular funeral home, the federal law states that you can back out of it in 72 hours and go in there and get you all of your money back. I don't think you would find many consumers that knew about that. That's another area that I say is important is the Federal Trade Commission's funeral rule. Is knowing that the rule is there, going on the website for the government, looking for it, understanding that so that you know your rights as a consumer. And if you feel that after you've made some arrangements, you feel that you've been taken advantage of, discuss it with the funeral director. Be open. Discuss it with the cemetery provider. And if there's no resolution to the problem, then you get into your complaint end of it, which, again, would be what I tell people is, if you have an issue and you're, let's say, it's not being resolved that way, email me. I will give you some suggestions of how I would suggest you go and discuss it with that particular funeral home or cemetery in an effort to resolve the issue.
And it is definitely what Mike and I have both been saying is there are a lot of choices, but the point is we're really trying to drive home is if you're 30 or 40 or 50 or 60, it doesn't make any difference. If you're sick or if you're healthy, it doesn't make a difference. I mean, people come to me all the time and they say, I'm fine. I'm healthy as anything. I don't need to do my health care directive. I don't need to sign my DNR. I don't need to make sure that I have a health care surrogate. And it's like, okay. And you just have to sit back and say, okay, because you can't force people to make these choices. You and I are just enlightening people about that there is a choice available. And that's, I think, the most important thing is that there is a choice available, you know.
Absolutely
and,
correct.
And that you don't have to be forced into anything. If you say, you know what, I just lost my job 2 weeks ago. I can't do this. Somebody's got to come up with an option for you. Somebody will talk to you, a social worker, a funeral director. Somebody will talk to you. You can email Mike. But the point is someone will talk to you and say, how can we get this job done? And that's the important thing. It's not how many frills or bows or glitter or you know, velvet it has. It's how can we get this job done? Because this job has to be done, and there is a time limit. And I think those are the two most important things to remember is, has to be done, time limit.
Time limit.
Everything else is a variable.
You are 100% correct on that, doctor, 100%. And that's where consumers have to understand that. And, again, once we see more of these let's say, social events occurring, more and more people talking about it, it will become a more open subject versus a taboo subject like it is right now. But again, I think we're going to see this happen, but is it going to be in my lifetime? I can't say that. I really
right.
can't, Doc. But it's if people knew how to get answers, I'm there on my website. They can, you know, would be able to contact you because of your background and your activities on the radio, et cetera. They can contact you now that you know who I am. And it's just a network of professionals being available to help consumers out there in an area, be it funeral planning or whatever else it is, to help them out.
And I think also, too, we wonder, why is there such a rush these days to have these conversations? Well, I can remember, I mean, I grew up in the 50s and the 60s, and family lived around the corner from the other family, which lived around the corner from the other family. That's just the way it was. Everybody knew everyone's business, and in between you're around the corner could have been the funeral person. Around the other side could have been the chaplain. Around the other side could have been the person who sings at the church, whatever it would be. But everybody knew, so everybody was cared for. And I think now we're coming up to an age where people are no longer, quote, cared for. So that is a big difference because as we age, we're just kind of getting left. It's something we would have never experienced this in our lifetime. But hey, you know, you could go 6 months, a year, or 2, 3, 4 years, and nobody would ring your doorbell, you know, or you may be just put into a nursing home and sit there and look out the window for the next, you know, 5 years or so.
Absolutely correct. As a matter of fact,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
You know, but that's I think the most important thing is to say what history has done too to really get us to where we are. I think it's history more too.
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I live in what I'll call a 55 plus community, and there are neighbors down here who don't even know the names of their next door neighbors.
Right.
Okay. And there are people who could pass on in their home, and no one would miss them until somebody said.
Right.
Walking by the home, there's a terrible smell coming out of that home.
Right.
And all of a sudden somebody will enter it, and that's happened. And it happens all across the country. It's just that you are correct on that. It's a lonely world. It's more lonely than it was in the time period you were talking about, because, again, that's even my time period, Doctor. So, yes, it's more lonely. It's more standoffish. And where I live in Florida, it is extremely, extremely, let's say, secluded, if you will. And, again, people don't even know their next-door neighbor names. And they just exist like that. So you can have a death in a family, and it may go not reported for quite some time until someone, as I say, walks by a home or says something mm-hmm. else, and they start to go and look, and they find out, oh, mom passed on quite a while ago. Mom is just a skeleton sitting on a chair. And this does happen.
We hate to say that, you know, but that is the passage of life. I mean, if we just accept that the passage of life can happen anywhere, anytime, and it may or may not fit your, quote, prepackaged and pre-financed funeral, you just have to be okay with that, too. So I think I always like to say to people, the best laid plans is great, but when the plans aren't there, it's okay, too. Because you really can't change destiny, you can't change fate, or whatever you want to call it. Things just happen. So I really think that's important.
Well, it is very important. As I say, matter of fact, when we talk about sudden death, all right, now I'm saying sudden death, in other words, death caused by an automobile accident, an airplane crash, totally unexpected, okay, and many people are hurt, maimed, or killed because of it, that's when it becomes very, very chaotic in a particular area. And
right.
It's unfortunate, but it goes along with your thinking on that, Doctor, is that it becomes chaotic. And because of all of that, if the families, and again, if they better understood funeral planning and they better understood those particular subjects that come along with it, it's a traumatic event, but it would be less traumatic knowing that this one area was taken care of by someone, so we don't have to be that it doesn't have to be that traumatic in planning the service, planning the funeral. It's already been taken care of.
Right.
People know what they're going to do, how to fall into place. But that's not the norm in the United States. Now, if you talk to funeral directors, especially funeral homes that own several funeral homes in a community, in other words, they might be a small business person, but they might have three or four outlets in a particular community. Yes, they probably have quite a few pre-financed funeral arrangements and even pre-planned funeral arrangements. But the other side of it is most of the people in a particular community don't do it, and they don't want
right.
to do it. They're afraid of it
right.
until the event occurs, and then that's why, as I say, I see things that come through on the normal media. For example, as I say, I had something come in where funeral arrangements, funeral and cemetery scams are rated as the top 10 scams targeting seniors in the United States, and that's
right.
funeral and cemetery scams. And that's the article that I'm referring to came out on January 18th in one of the things that I read. But just to give you a little idea, there's techniques about it. In other words, funeral directors can tell consumers that a casket is required for cremation, where it's not. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the consumer wouldn't know that, doctor. So they're going to say, okay, fine, I'll need a casket. I'll have to purchase a wood-type casket. But the consumer would really need for a cremation is a cremation cardboard box, which the funeral directors would sell, cremation box. But it's included in the scams. Another one is another thing that's included in the scam is how funeral homes capitalize on family members unfamiliar with what we're talking about, cost of funeral services, and add unnecessary charges to the bill. That's a scam. It's terrible.
It's
out there in
Mike,
the United States right now.
We have blown through this hour. We're at the end of it.
All right.
Wow.
It's very enjoyable.
So, what I would like to let all the listeners know is that all links for Mike and his book and his workbook and how to email him and everything is located on today's show page. So all you have to do is just click directly on the highlighted area where it says link, and you will be able to find Mike and all of his information. So, Mike, I'd like to thank you so much for being with us today. We just blew through that, and I guess we'll probably have to have you on another time because we have still a few other little things we could probably still talk about, right?
I'm ready whenever you are, Doctor.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for the time.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
So to the listeners, if you'd like more information about Mike, you can always just click on his link, which is directly on today's show page. And we have gone through this very quickly. It is a topic that not a lot of people want to hear about. Yes, there are options. And that is what Mike and I were trying to say is you have options. There are many questions you have to ask. Please visit his website, and the link is on the show page, but please visit his website. There is a ton of information there, and he is more than happy to help anyone across the country. You don't have to be in his backyard. You don't have to be just down the street. He will help you because these questions are definitely hard to make. And if it's a last-minute question, you put on there urgent. Urgent, quick, I need help, you know, and I'm sure he will get back to you. So to our listeners, thank you so much for being with us today, and God bless, and we will talk again tomorrow.